Good morning. Oh, yeah, that felt much better. All right. You know, we're in two services, and God is moving, doing some great things. And I'm just excited, you know, in this season and where we're at. And, you know, we've got some transitions, some different things that are kind of in process and preparing for the growth that is really already begun. You know, coming out of Easter and just the things that we have already witnessed. And, you know, and it's in other pockets, in other areas too. I was visiting with our youth pastor, and Mauricio, and he was talking. We've set new records even with our youth in attendance, and with those that are showing up. So that's incredible. That's awesome that we're seeing that. And some of you know, we recently had Michael Murphy that came in. He has a ministry called Leaderscape, and he helps churches and pastors and really helps you through consulting and how to put some things in place, how to really look at things. And he came in, did full assessments on most of our staff and really got a feel for things. They've come in a couple of times, but in this recent visit, he really prophetically engaged. We had him minister on a Saturday evening as well with leaders and just heads of ministry and different ones that were a part of that. And he spoke some things. And one of those things is we as the Life Church are in for some tremendous growth. Okay, I was hoping. Am I in the right place? All right. We as the Life Church are in for some really strong growth. And so we're just working to prepare for that and get ready. Growth doesn't show up and then you're scrambling. You know, it can, but that's not how this should work. I believe that we should be already laying the foundation and putting things in place and preparing and looking at that. Of course, we got this new building project that, come on, y'all got to believe with me. We're praying. You know, it's just, it's a struggle, you know, and getting plans through the city of San Angelo is quite the struggle. You know, we have an architect, Burns, that they're out of the DFW area. They do stuff all over, big stuff, and they do it, you know, in Frisco and Arlington and, you know, Fort Worth and all these places. And so they do this, and they express the difficulty that they have here. Not too long ago, we were in Midland looking at doing an addition, and they apologized because they couldn't get stamp plans back to us in maybe 2 weeks. And we can go months here. So we need to pray. I don't know what else to do. You know, all the contractors, everybody, there's just this thing that somehow we got to bust through this. We need a breakthrough in San Angelo, Texas. Amen. And so I'm believing for that. We got all this building project, all that new playscape with the children's area. We're ready. We're going to build it. And so we want to get going and get started on this and with this project. So we've got some things in place. We're looking at going right into our new sanctuary and building out that beautiful auditorium that's over there. And so it's exciting times, we feel like that again, it's not just about building buildings, it's about building people. It's about reaching more people. And so we feel called to do that here in this community. And so we're working on that and preparing for that. And so I'm grateful that you're a part of this. You know, when Joanne and I move back, you know, this August will be 2 years that we've been back living here. And, you know, I felt like God was sneaking up on me again. You know, I had other thoughts and other ideas of what we would do and going to the mission field and doing more of missions. And, of course, we have expanded some in that. But with that, we've got others that are rising up to that. And Michael Murphy, when he was in here he began to really speak some things to me personally and being able to take a stronger lead. So I'm planning on doing that. I'll be preaching more here in San Angelo, and we'll strategically roll some things out to the other campuses to keep all of that rolling. But I'm excited in this season and what we're doing. And we've got others who have gone and are going. Just got Brandon Moore back from India. Thank God. Somebody else went to India. Woo! And Abraham Matthews just returned, just got back. And so he's home now. And you know, we've got a special guest. I guess we call her guest, almost like family to a lot. You know, Jamie Sivak that is here. And so she's part of Global Ventures. And we do the short-term missions trips, you know, with Global Ventures around the world. And, of course, got some trips planned. And so Jamie's here. And if you are even thinking remotely about going on a short-term mission trip, you just got to just hint a little bit, and it'll be on. Come on, you can go. You know, we have some that, like Dina Bravo, I mean, she works to go on mission trips. She works in my school. She has a, you know, full-time job, but summertime she has off. I'm telling you, she goes on all of them. She just is a beast, man, on the mission field and just goes. And, of course, she's got a trip planned. We got some others that are planning on going. And so we'd love to see you involved in that. That's a vital part. You can go overseas. It's amazing what happens on those short-term trips and what God will do, not only through you, but in you. And you can really see some tremendous things happen for your life in the missions and those types of things. So we're going to be continuing to work on that. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer as we start this service this morning. And really, you know, in the Freedom series, I think that there's some things we got to ramp up. There's some things that we need to be aware of. And but, you know, we're living in a crazy time in a world that has gone nuts. You know, when you think about Israel and what's happening on that timeline and just all the prophetic words in Scripture, end-time eschatology and what it says, we know that those things will happen. But at the same time, there is this desire that things that God has asked us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to pray for Israel and to really reach the world. And there's still so many areas of unreached people groups, unreached people throughout the earth, and that have never heard the name of Jesus. And so we know that's still a major calling. So we're just praying that time that we'll still have to be able to reach more people. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer in that, you know. It's not just for Israel, you know, with when you've got evil leaders, you know, like what they've got there in Iran. We love the Persian people. God loves the Persian people. There's some tremendous moves of God and church planting and the gospel that's spreading throughout Iran. It's incredible, but yet the evil regime and those that have evil intent in their heart. Sometimes Americans are so naive. We don't always get it. There is evil in the world, and God speaks about how to deal with evil, and He speaks about it differently than other types of things. And so we need to realize that, you know, they call the Israel the little Satan, and the United States the big Satan. So they'd just soon see us wiped out and off the map as much as Israel. So we're going to pray. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our time together. And just as we just approach your word today, that you'll cause me to speak as an oracle of God, that my words would be your words and your words my words. And Father, that there would, the anointing would do the work, that your word would go forth and would accomplish today in our hearts, our minds, our lives, and do great and mighty things. And we just want to open ourselves up to that, and we say yes to you in that. And Father, whatever areas that we may need to bring into alignment so that we are living according to your word, Father, so that our lives can truly be blessed, Father, let that happen today in us. And Father, we thank you for the work continuing through us and going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And Lord, continue this work, Father, through even the Life Church and spreading and growing and doing all that we've been called to do. And one of those places is Israel, even among the Palestinian people and the Jewish people. Father, that you would just bring peace over that whole region, that whole area. And Father, that those evil regimes would just be put down and held back, and that this gospel could make its inroads into all the areas of the earth. And so, Father, we thank you for these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, this morning, as we get started, we're gonna continue in our Freedom Series. Pastor David did that kickoff last week. He's in Arlington this Sunday. And we had Otto Kelly that was with us, former NFL football player, great man of God. He had to move over to his own row to have enough room to be able to praise God. I mean, when the dude's arm's bigger than my legs, you know, it's like, dude, and he's 62, he's my age. So I was like, man, he's still ripped. I'm like, okay, what's your excuse, Walt? Anyway, he brought the word, man, for our men. It was powerful. It was awesome. So we'll look at that relationship. He's with Christian Men's Network. He heads up the section called Dad Academy, and you can always find some of those resources out there. But we were tremendously blessed. He's in Abilene today and ministering over there. They're excited having Otto over there. And whenever I think about this series, it really, we already had it planned out, but I didn't understand the connectivity coming out of Easter and what would happen. And in the text, the passage of scripture that I used in the Easter message, it really just brought confirmation to what I felt like we were going to do when we talk about freedom, because the reality is God wants us free. Jesus came to pay an incredible price that we would have freedom in him. And yet I still see so many people bound by different things, and we'll get into this. I'm going to save this part one, part two, in the first service. I only got into just this first section. And so I've really settled on just staying here. And since I'm bringing the word next week, we'll hit the next part of this next week, and it'll be a continuation. But whenever I look around, you know, I just see so many people bound by all kinds of things, and even more so throughout the world. You know, I mean, I've run upon, you know, a lot of demonic activity and different stuff, you know, especially in foreign countries. But it's here, and it's an operation. Satan is real. It's a real thing. But Jesus came to not only set us free, but he came with a mandate that we would go and preach the message of freedom to others. And, I didn't talk about this in the first service, but this message of freedom is throughout the scripture, especially through the New Testament. And I think about in the early colonies for even America. Listen to this in history. See, a lot of times, you know, they don't want to tell us the true history of America. They want to somehow taint it and make us out to be all kinds of evil and different stuff. But there was something very God-ordained in coming to America, and for America, for the United States of America, to be birthed and to be established in that. Those early colonies, they came seeking a true religious freedom. And as they were here, there was a strong move of God that began to happen. And there was some, like John Wesley and Charles Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, you know, that were planting churches and really discipling people, hardcore discipleship. But there was another very radical individual that did open-air preaching and saw multitudes come to Christ, by the name of George Whitefield. And George Whitefield began to preach the message of freedom in Christ, that we have been made free. Freedom in Christ. And Thomas Edison said of George Whitefield that George Whitefield had preached this message of freedom to the point that a revolution was inevitable. He blamed the American Revolution on a preacher. That they had so passionately wanted to be free. Amen? And I think there's something that's just in our hearts, in our lives, that we want freedom. We want to be free. But listen, freedom has a price that has to be paid. And we see that Jesus paid that price, and we see those who have gone before us, you know, even in history that have paid a price. Many of you have served in the armed forces, you know. My nephew, he's been there in Jordan and literally just got home last night. And amen, thank you. And we have been praying for him and just, you know, concerned, you know, because when all those missiles and drones and everything is coming that direction, listen, they don't care who they're bombing. They don't care if it's the Palestinian people in West Bank. They don't care if it's Jordanians. They don't care if it's Jewish Israelis. They don't care if it's Christian. They don't care if it's Muslims, hardcore Muslims. It's like, well, it's for the sake. Okay, they're martyrs. They don't care. Just bomb. That's how crazy that is. So we're free to do what is right is what should happen. And we'll talk some more as we go through this. I want to look at this here in Luke's gospel. I'm going to kind of review some in this. In Luke's gospel, chapter 24, starting in verse 26, it says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary." Look at this. "It was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This was supposed to begin at Jerusalem and then spread through the whole earth. And we're not done yet. We're still on mission. But as I was studying this, repentance, I get this. It is turning to God. You know, a lot of times we focus on repentance that, oh, you got to turn away from that. You got to turn away from this. You got to do this. You got to do, you know, and it's all focused on the negative. But I love the way Paul brings us out, you know, in his epistles to the churches is that I'm trying to remember now. I think it was the Galatians that he said this. He said, "You have turned to God from idols." You know what? Sometimes it's not in just trying to stop doing, it's in the start doing. Oh, you got to hear that. Somebody needed that. You can't get into that negative place trying to just stop something. Sometimes you got to start something. You got to press into God. You got to do more. You got to get in his word. You got to pray more. And as you give yourself more to him, it's amazing how those other things just seem to fall off and fall away. Again, at the Life Church, we're not into behavior modification. We're into inward transformation. We believe that it's God at work in us to bring about true change. Because that's the only change that really lasts. Yeah, I've seen religious stuff, you know, where it's about activities and the stop doing this, stop doing that, stop, you know, and it can get crazy. Very Pharisaical. You know what that is, right? Where the Pharisees were always judging someone else, always lifting themselves up, putting everybody else down, like they had it all together. But all of the way that Pastor Daniel set that up, you know, in that coming out of worship, of all of us still have things that God is working on, dealing with, moving us through this process. But as I landed on remission of sins, bam, I had revelation. Revelation. Because most translations, especially coming to the English, translate remission of sins being forgiveness. But it is so much more than just forgiveness. Now think about this for a moment. How many of you, I mean, I thank God for forgiveness, right? All right, let me go to a place. All of you married couples, look up here. Don't look at each other. Don't be elbowing. Just play fair. We're in church. How many of you had a spouse, I mean, do something and maybe it was very offensive and yet they asked forgiveness and you forgive them, right? That's okay, yeah. But How many of you would rather them to stop doing it? Right? It's like, could you quit that? What is that? Well, I would like for you to get free from that thing. You keep hurting me. You keep saying this. You keep doing this. You keep leaving that out. Anyway, won't go there to all the stuff. But see, and so God wants us to not only just be forgiven, but he wants to set us free where we're no longer bound to that. Well, this word remission, when you go to the Greek, you go to the original language, it means to be free from bondage. Whew. So if he's telling us that this is part of our assignment to preach this gospel in the name of Jesus for people to turn to God from idols and from anything and everything that is not of him, so that you've got your focus, you're in line where he is your Father. He is your God. But now that there is a message of freedom to be set free, something happens with that kind of freedom that takes place. And so that's where we're at in this. And so as we came out of Easter, I begin to really see that. We already had this series planned on freedom. We've got some great resources that are out there. We've got Pastor Robert's book, Truly Free. It's out there. We've got Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. We may talk about that, where those battlefield, it's right there, the thoughts, sometimes the lies that Satan wants us to believe. Those are enemies to us in our faith. He wants to put you down, make you think that sometimes you're more than you are at the time. Yeah, we'll talk about maybe what that looks like in pride and arrogance and all that. And God resists the proud. Listen, you don't want to get on that side. Amen. And then there's another book out there on the bait of Satan. The bait of Satan. It's about offense. Because Jesus warned, he gave a very stern warning, especially there in Luke chapter 17, that offenses are going to come. Listen, we're in a fallen world with imperfect people. Come on, all of us. I'm not the only one, right? And so all of us are working on this. And if we get caught in offense, it has such damage in the area of creating a block. I call it the blessing blocker. God wants our lives blessed. And if you get over into that, because what it does, without realizing it maybe fully, that when you get over an unforgiveness, it goes into this whole aspect of offense. If you stay on that course, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that it can grow into a root of bitterness, that all of a sudden all kinds of nasty stuff starts springing out of that. Ooh, we don't want that. So how do we deal with these things? How does this happen? Well, number one, I really believe that in this, let me give you one more scripture. And this is really what came out of Pastor Robert's book. He based it on this. This is in John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" You shall know the truth. Now, that's intimately knowing the truth. It's how a husband would know his wife, an intimate knowing. It's not some mental sense and head knowledge. You're going, oh, yeah, okay, I can see. That's true. It's not that kind of knowing. It's a knowing where it's you have literally taken it in. You know this to be the word of God. You know this to be truth. And there ain't no devil going to talk you out of it. Amen? No other person's going to talk you out of it. You've got it. It's on the inside, the word of God. When it is of that place, you will be free. So there's a powerful thing that happens in this. But the first thing we need to recognize is that Satan and the demonic spirits, they are real. They're real. Sometimes, you know, we especially in American, you know, you Americanize stuff and you see the little red figure, you know, with the pitchfork and the, you know, the tail, and we say, oh, the devil. No, he's a spirit. Now, and here's the thing. If you really track through all the way through the Bible, you get these glimpses where we know that he was thrown out of heaven. We know that in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, we see where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples. They're going out. They're preaching the gospel. They're laying hands on the sick. They're seeing miracles happen. And they're casting out evil spirits. Well, they come back. And so they're now returned to Jesus. And they're giving their report. And they're like, even the devils were subject to us in your name, at the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, said, I beheld Satan fall to the earth just like lightning does. And he said, that's no big deal. He's like, rather don't rejoice in that, you know, demons are subject, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice about, hey, there's people now that are on the list. They're going. It was almost like, this is just what you do. As you're going, you're preaching the gospel, devil shows up, smack him. Cast it out. It's not on our basis, it's on the name of Jesus, right? And again, I've run into some of this stuff, folks, in mostly overseas, mostly in countries that really do have a lot more involvement in witchcraft and voodoo. Man, Haiti, I mean, it can be crazy in other places where they have invited the devil in. Haiti, for 200 years, had a covenant with Satan. I wonder if it's a jacked up, messed up. And so we know that those things are real. But I've seen them over here too. And I've seen them in different ways, in different places. And sometimes they're hide and they just kind of, you know, they're sly, you know, they... You know, in forms of spirit of fear, spirit of iniquity, spirit of infirmity, spirit of, I mean, you see all these, spirit of pride. You see all these different kinds of things. But sometimes they are the real deal. I'll never forget, years ago, we used to do these Super Bowl parties. And so we were at Jackson Street back then at the old building. And so we got this big Super Bowl party. We're going to do like this football throw thing, you know, and somebody's name was getting drawn and they were going to have a chance at, I don't know, winning, you know, all kinds of money or a vehicle or something. We'd do the insurance thing, give something big away. So we had, you know, a big crowd coming to the Super Bowl party, had it on the big screen. Now, it wasn't the LED, it was a projector, but it was still, it was a 20-foot screen over there at Jackson. It was a big screen. And so we had, you know, I had the TV station showing up at halftime to do a whole thing on our Super Bowl party. And so the football game's just starting. They just kicked off. And I'm like, woo. And I'm sitting there, and I have this young man that was a part of the church. He came up beside me, and he's like, Pastor, I need you to come outside. I'm like, what? The football game's just starting. And he's like, I got a friend, and he needs deliverance. And I'm like, hey, bring him in. This is going to be cool. At halftime, we're going to give an altar call. He can give his life to Jesus. He's like, oh, no, he can't come in. He'll tear the place apart. And I'm like, oh, now he's got my attention. I'm like, okay, what is this? And so anyway, so I'm like, okay, I better go check this out. So we walk out, and as I'm walking out, I look across, and at the far, across the street, the far as he could park, his pickup is sitting over there in a parking spot as far as it could be away from the building. And as we're walking, I notice he stops. And I'm still walking, and I'm like, he's leaving me to just go out there by myself. So now I'm really going, what is this, you know? And so I holler back at him, and I ask what the guy's name was. He told me. And so I go walking up there. He's got his window down. He's just sitting there. And I said, hello. And he looks up at me, and his eyes roll back in his head, and his tongue starts darting. I'm like, oh, we have a devil. I mean, full-on demonic, inhabited, demonized. I open the door and he comes slithering out. He's going across the pavement now, like a snake. I'm like, okay, Lord, I haven't seen this. Some of you are going, it's real. It's real. And this guy had been 13 years as a Druid priest. He had been in Satanism and had done all this crazy stuff. I mean, it was wild. As I'm trying to cast the devil out of him, somebody thought they were seeing a fight, so they whoop in, you know. And so this, as a contractor, I remember, you know, this guy, you know, good Baptist guy, you know. So he jumps out, shuts his door, and thinking he's going to watch a fight, you know, because I'm kind of straddled over him, you know, commanded the devil out of him. And all of a sudden, this guy raises up, looks at this guy, and hisses at him. And all of a sudden, Gary's over there. He's up against the truck like this. His eyes are like that. This Baptist didn't know what to do. And so anyway, by then, I had some others that had come out there. We picked this guy up, hauled him in to the green room. And for the first half of the football game, we're in there casting devils out of this guy. Oh, man. It was, I honestly, humanly, it seemed not possible for his body to contort and do the things it was doing. It was wild. And every time we would bring him up to just to say the name of Jesus again, he couldn't get it out. And then he would go into full-blown, like, manifestation of this thing. And finally, by the end of it, he was able to actually say the name of Jesus, help me. And he broke through. He broke through. God set him free. And months later, I saw him at a funeral. I didn't even recognize him. He had a, you know, because this guy, even his big old fingernails, they were real long. They were sharpened to a point. He had like claws. It didn't look humanly possible that someone could actually do this. And yet, it was crazy. But he was completely set free. Completely set free. Going to church, freedom had come to his life. But these things are real. And I can tell you a lot of other stories of that demonic realm. Now, here's the thing. In the Bible, sometimes when it gets translated over into English, they add words. You'll see them in italics. And when you see that, they've been added to try to enhance the translation. But sometimes it's really not good that they do that. And you will not find in the original that there is demon possession. Not demon possession. It is when you go to the actual word, it is demonized. They can have the influence, they can be with a spirit, they can be under the control of a realm of demonic forces. There's a lot of those things, but look at the demoniac who had a legion, it said, but he still fell down and worshiped God. He came to Jesus. You'll see that people that still had full demonized, they were not possessed where they could not control things. They still were able to come to Jesus. And so it's under the influence, and sometimes those spirits are operating, and they're looking for an open door. They're looking for an opportunity. And sometimes we, if we're not careful, open the door. We may not know that's what we're doing. And it doesn't mean that when you sin and you blow it, that all of a sudden now you're demonized. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's still the flesh. It's still operating there. I love how Jack Hayford says this. Says the reality is we can never cast out the flesh, and you can never disciple a demon. If it's the flesh, then it just needs to get submitted to Jesus, right? But if it's a demon, you're never going to disciple that sucker. You got to get rid of that dude. That has to leave. And so in this process, we know that these things, they are real, but also, is there an open door? Has there been a door that has gotten open? You know, Joanne and I, we live out in the country, and so as we were buying this house, we were looking over this house, and I happened to walk out there in the yard, and I'm looking, and there was the owners had two cats, and this one cat's feasting on a squirrel. Yeah, eating a squirrel. So I told the owner, I said, I'll buy the house, but I want the cats to come with it. They're like, you want the cats? I'm like, heck yeah, that cat, man, that thing knows how to hunt. There ain't gonna be no snakes, no mice. I mean, this cat kills stuff. Sorry, all you squirrel lovers, but anyway. And so we added to it. We had our cats, but they're all outside cats. And one of them we inherited was Lindsay's that didn't work out at her house. And so anyway, so Ferg's out there, and so he's part of it, but he hates being outside. He was a city cat. We move into the country, he's freaked out at everything. You've heard of scaredy cat? He's the ultimate scaredy cat. He's like, there's stuff out here. And there is. There's a big old hawk that you better hide, dude. that owl. Man, that owl is massive that's out there. And so we got this little dog, little Chiweenie, and so every morning I go to the door. I open the door just enough. He runs out. He goes and does his business. I shut the door. I'm waiting on him to get done. He comes back. I open the door. He comes in. And I do it in darkness. I love that early morning time in quietness, and so many times I'm not even turning lights on. I may walk over and flip the little light there by the coffee maker and get me a cup of coffee, turn it off, and then I go to the front room, and I'm just in before devices, before anything, and I'll just sit in quietness. So it was one of those mornings, and I'd let little Bentley out, and he'd come back and come in. I shut the door, and I walk into the front room, and I sit down. And as I'm sitting there, and I'm just praying and just meditating on the Lord, and all of a sudden, it's like out of the glimpse of one eye, I got this shadow that passed. Come on, how many of you ever had your spidey senses go up? My hair starts standing up, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what's in my house? You know, is that a devil? I'm ready to go in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, here comes across the front of the living room, and it's a cat. Ferg had somehow slipped in while the door opened to let the dog out. I open the door. Sometimes people, without realizing, you open a door. You can do that. If you get in a fence, you can open a door. Jesus was adamant in this area. See, the reality is, Proverbs says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You can't afford to get over into that stuff. That's why that book out there, The Bait of Satan, is so powerful. It was one of the truths that just brought such freedom to my life, to where, you know, because, you know, and you know what's funny? I've had some people that have said, well, I never get offended. I'm like, you're the most offended person I know. Oh, yeah. Just look up here. Don't look around. I had heard a story one time of a pastor, and this minister had really gotten offended about some stuff even. He was hurt. And then he called a fellow minister, and he's yan, yan, yan about the other, and all of a sudden the phone hung up. And he's like, got disconnected. So he calls back, and it rings and rings and rings. Nobody answers. So he calls back in, rings and rings and rings. Nobody answers. Finally, the spouse of the minister gets on there and answers the phone. He's like, hey, I got cut off, you know. And he's like, oh, no, you didn't. He hung up on you. It's like, well, why did he hang up on me? It's like, listen, he's determined. He's nobody's trash can. If you're offended, you need to go to that person. You need to get that thing right. We can't afford to allow you to bring this into our lives and our ministry and take us down. Open a door. Now, that's scriptural, folks. Matthew 18, somebody offends you. If there's aught, you're supposed to go to that person. Have you fixed that? Or just release them and forgive it. And just make it. Listen, We live in a fallen world with fallen people. There's so much, man, coming out of our men's rally yesterday and hearing some testimonies for some guys. You know, I can think that I had some real blunders and some messed up stuff in my life. And I hear some of the other stories and it's like, dang, I'm okay. I'm telling you, you know, it's all relative, right? There's a bad devil out there. But it's amazing how God can bring people into that place of forgiveness and forgiving others. Because that's part of the connection to freedom. And if you look at that word offense in the Greek, it is the word scandali, which means it's a trap. And that if you're not careful, that's why that book is called The Bait of Satan. An offense is a bait. And if you grab hold of it, and I love the way I've heard it taught in the past that in certain countries like Africa, they actually will catch monkeys in that way. They'll take a gourd and they'll cut the end off of it and it'll be hollow on the inside, and they'll drop some fruit down inside there, and they'll tie a rope to it and tie it to a tree, and that monkey will come and that monkey will reach its hand, you know, down in there, little paw down in there, and when it grabs the fruit, now he doesn't want to let go of it, and so he can't get his arm back out. And the hunter walks up there and he's screaming and hollering. All he'd have to do is let go and he'd get free from the trap. But he won't let go. Hunter knocks him in the head, boom, monkey soup. I know that's a little brutal, but. And so that's what the bait of Satan is. And it's something that can, I call it the blessing blocker. God wants us to be blessed. But you can't allow that. Listen, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Man, I know I'm staying on this, but I just sense there's some that really need to hear this. Because the reality is, all of us need forgiveness. Sometimes we just mess up. And we need that forgiveness. That's why even in the Lord's Prayer is that, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Something very powerful in that. Because Jesus wants us free. He wants us free. And it's free to serve Him, free to live for Him, free to be everything that God created us to be. And that's where sometimes that spirit of fear will try and cause you to back off things, cause you to believe less. Sometimes it's pride that's even in there. I love how Pastor Robert talks about it in his book, that he even was thinking less of himself than he should. And he kept saying, God, this is too big, because Gateway is massive. I mean, it's a huge organization. They have grown. It's incredible. And yet he was in this prayer, place of prayer, and he's like, God, this is too big. It's Robert. Remember, it's me. This is too big. And finally, the Lord said, would you just quit that? And it just shocked him, you know, kind of shook him. Come on, sometimes God needs to get in our business, right? Kind of shake us a little. And he said, Robert, the reality is, it doesn't matter how small or how big, everything is too big for you. Come on, let that settle in. See, sometimes we think, I've got to be able to do it. When Jesus made this statement, so powerful, he said, without me, you can do nothing. See, I realized that waking up this morning, just the breath that I'm taking in to breathe is because of him. Without him, I can do nothing. The very breath that I breathe is because of him. And some of you are in this place and you need to submit yourself to God. You need to yield to him, because that's what James says, James 4, 7 and 8. Sometimes we just quote the last part of that. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, there's another part to that on the front end of that scripture. It says, first, submit therefore to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Are you submitted to the Lord? Now, some of you, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life to be saved and be born again, but have you really given him your life to where it's like, okay, whatever he's going to ask you to do, that you're willing to do it, that your life is really submitted? And I've run up against some things where I was facing some challenges and needing some breakthroughs. And what I found is that many times I start examining my heart and it's like, okay, have I really yielded every area? God, and many times he just brings you back into that place to where I start putting him first. And it's amazing, the breakthroughs, amazing what starts happening. Can we stand to our feet? We're going to dismiss. But as we do, I want to lead us. I want to pray for you, but I also want to encourage you. If you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, before you leave here, please, please do that. Salvation is for all of us. He paid such an incredible price for us to truly be saved. And he wants us to be free in that, to be whole. You know, salvation is about complete wholeness. The word soteria is to be made whole, spirit, soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and even physically. I love it. You know, my mom, a couple of weeks back, I get this text that says, the doctors have found a lump. And I mean, they found it. They had already created a model of it, the size of it, you know, what they thought it was. I mean, all of that. Well then, so we go to praying. And we're praying, man, people are praying, she's praying. I mean, I was with a group of pastors. I gave it to them. They started praying. We just went into prayer. And again, I wish it always happened this way. I face things that I'm like, okay, God, you did it for her. She goes back to the doctor. They run two different, because they're looking at this model they created. They feel like they've got it. You know, here's where it's located. Here's the size of it. And they do two different scans and can't find it. They were a little baffled. We know it was there. Come on, but God. Man, God is so good. Man. What is it that you're facing? What is it that maybe God is at work right here in your heart to bring freedom to your life? Is there some struggles? Is there some things, some habitual habits? Because sometimes those are linked to a demonically it's not like you're possessed, please. I said that earlier about my cat, because that cat was squatting in my house. Hopefully not literally, but anyway, he was in my house and he didn't belong there. Right? He was trespassing. He's an outside cat. He didn't belong in my house. And I kicked him out. And it might just be an influence. Sometimes it's crafty how the enemy works. And he'll really, I love how Pastor Robert says it, one of the greatest areas is our thought life. He tries to get us to believe a lie. He'll get us to believe a lie about others. He'll get us to believe a lie about ourselves. Got to get victory over this. Is there some things that you just need to say, God, I need you to help me in this? And I encourage you, use some of those resources. There's an Audible resource that is available. I guess it's still available. It's absolutely free. It's Dr. Caroline Leith, who has written some incredible books. She's a brain scientist, but a wonderful Christian lady. And in that area of psychology and just helping, it's called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. Come on, how many of you got some mental messes going on? And there's a free Audible. If you go to Audible, you can download that for free. Man, when I heard free, I grabbed it. And I've already been listening to it. Those resources are to help you gain understanding and how to really disciple, you know, discipline your life to overcome these areas. If you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or there's some things that are stirring, why don't you close your eyes right now? Why don't some of you that may be in that place and you just need to say, Jesus, I want to make sure that heaven's my home. Be my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. Just do that right now. If there's some of you that you maybe you're really stirred. I hit on that so strongly here in this service that you just need to confess. You need to say, you know what? I choose to forgive that person. Not for their sake, but for my sake. I need you. I don't want anything coming between us. I choose to forgive. Now listen, doesn't mean you have to trust them. Does not mean that you know, trust can be broken and has to be rebuilt. There's some things in that. You can walk in love, and you can even love people from afar if they've really hurt you and done harm to you. But to forgive them is to release them and just give that to God. And just say, God, I just forgive. See, in that place, you're saying, God, I trust you more than any of this other stuff. Just release that. Just give it to him right now. If there's some things that's going on in your life, if there's something happening right now that you know that you've got a vice, there's something, and you need to just say, God, I want to give this to you. I need your help. I want the power of this thing broken off of me right now. Just do that between you and the Lord right here in this atmosphere. Such a beautiful presence of God here. Just leading you in this place. Just say, God, I give you this. This is really between you and him. You may need to go to someone outside of this to say, you know what, I got to forgive you. I ask you to forgive me for any wrong I've done. Just, you can do that. But right here, start in this place saying, Father, forgive me. Now, Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you for just a release of your presence and your power, bringing complete freedom in people's lives. Complete freedom. Jesus, thank you for having your way. We just bless you. We praise you. We give you the glory for this journey and what you're doing and where you're taking us, even in this series, that our lives will truly, truly be different because we were here today and we said yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen.